Welcome back to The Good, The Bad and The Backlog, a podcast where in each episode we discuss our thoughts and opinions about a game that we've been playing recently. I'm your host, Kieran, and today I'm joined by Dwayne The Rock Johnson's little brother, The Pebble, also known as Adam. So how's Dwayne been recently, Adam?
He's been good, but our sister is a bit ill at the moment. Her name is Kidney Stones.
Oh dear, that's unfortunate.
She's married to a man named Slate. I don't know.
And their cousin, Grain of Sand.
Yeah. They're going to have a baby called Sediment.
What a glorious family. The geographers love them.
Yeah.
Or the geologists, I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
They drive their family to the point where they lost their marbles. I don't know, fuck, I don't know.
All right, I think it's time to move on from this intro.
I can't do puns.
How have you been?
Good. Tired. Very tired.
Is this because...
I'm a working man now.
Yeah. You had your first day very recently.
Yeah. Well, by the time you listen to this, I would have been there for a while. But very early stages, I am now adjusting to full-time working life again. And I got to say, I miss the laziness of being unemployed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel too. I feel it deeply. So is your job going to be like a full 5 days a week sort of job?
Yeah, it's a 5 day a week job. It's a full-time job.
9 to 5.
Yeah, 9 to 5. Although flexibleness is a part of it, so I can work from home sometimes, which will be really good. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's not nearly as uptight as my last job, because there it was like, you have to put your little fingerprint on this scanner thing, and then it's like, okay, you have clocked in, and then you have to clock out at the end of the day. It's nothing like that. It's like, we pay you a salary to do an expected amount of work a week, whether you show up 15 minutes late or leave 15 minutes early. It doesn't matter as long as the work is done. So, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Love that for me. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. And I'm basically earning pretty much what I was earning at my last job, except like with 10 times less stress. So... Woo!
That is the best thing. Stress is the worst.
Well, my last job, they were like piling on. I was basically doing like 2.5 people's worth of work. So they just like kept giving me more and more and more, because I was fucking so good at what I was doing. They thought I was not busy enough. So they just kept giving me more work. And then eventually I realized I was miserable.
So this is why it pays to work slow and pretend that you're terrible at your job, so they don't give you extra work.
Exactly. It is much harder to fire someone than you think.
Well, I've never been fired, and I work terribly. Oh. So obviously that's true.
Yes, it must apply for you then. Anyway, how's your work? What are you doing again? Milking cows or something?
No, I'm literally just working in a standard retail job at the moment in a garden center.
Oh, I thought you were like in a farm.
No, that was like years ago, man.
Oh.
And actually, that never happened. I've never worked on a farm in my life. Where'd you get that from?
That's just
in
what
the countryside. Perhaps that's what you're thinking of.
That's just what I imagined.
He works in the country. It must be farm work.
Yeah, he must be milking cows and shit.
Yeah, I was milking shit.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
That's what I was doing. I was actually just collecting cow pats to build my house with.
It's just that farm life. Whenever you're thirsty, you just get on under a cow and suckle out its teat.
Suck the teat.
Yep.
No, my job's very boring, but you know, it's I'm only doing it temporarily, really, until I can... But I'm probably going to move back to Bristol eventually. So I didn't really want anything that I could feel bad about leaving.
Yeah.
I can leave anytime and like, yeah, you know what? They'll just get someone else. I don't care. As long as I get paid. That's all right.
Fair enough. I spent ages actually getting work because I wanted to get like I wanted a career job, not like a little temporary thing. Because I'm like, nah, I could settle for anything shitty, but I'm like, nah, I'm too damn old to be doing that at this stage. So career.
You're never too old.
Yes, you are.
Nah. Yeah.
You're too old for plenty of things. There's like, you can't go on the kiddie rides at the amusement parks. You can't go to preschool.
I mean, you can sure as hell try.
There's plenty of things that adults can't do, like Legos. Once you reach over 99, you can't use Legos anymore.
Oh, that's true. The box says.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty sure I've seen some jigsaws that had that on as well.
Yep. Prince Philip, almost made it to not being allowed to use Legos, but then he didn't make it.
Yeah. It's because he couldn't think of life without Lego, so he just died.
Exactly.
He's like, fuck it, Elizabeth, I'm out of here. And then he dropped down dead.
I can't live without my Legos. It's time for me to leave. Going back to my own planet.
I'm going to complain about Phillips dying right now, because when he died, all the radio stations, like all the BBC radio stations, decided to switch to one broadcast of him, of them talking about his life and stuff. And it was just bullshit, because when I was driving home, I was putting on the local radio because I was in a traffic jam, and I was like, what's going on here? I need to listen to the traffic news. And it was just them talking about Prince Philip's death, and I was just furious. I went to find out what was delaying me. But, you know, what can we do?
What, was a traffic jam caused because his coffin was in the middle of the road or something?
Well, it was actually because someone had knocked him over in the middle of the road.
Ugh.
That's how he died, actually. That's the truth they're not telling you.
Right. And then that, in turn, made you late.
It made me late for getting home.
Yeah.
Which is the worst sin of all.
I can think of worse sins, but okay.
Speaking of awful sins.
Yeah.
What have we been playing this week?
I don't know if I like that segue, but the game that we've been playing is Vanquish.
Vanquish. It's a video game.
Whoa.
It's an action third-person shooter developed by Platinum Games, a studio who have developed games such as Bayonetta.
Ooh.
And I think that's the only one I can remember right now. They might have done Metal Gear Rising. I don't remember.
Yes, they did Bayonetta. They did Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. They also did The Wonderful 101. They did Infinite Space on the DS. And they did Mad World on the Wii. And a few others. Oh, and Astral Chain on the Switch.
Ah, yes. I was just about to say Astral Chain. That's my favorite.
It's probably the best game, but anyway.
I don't have a clue, man. It was published by Sega, and it originally came out on the Xbox 360 and PS3 back in 2010. But it was released on Steam or on Windows in 2017. It wasn't fully remastered then, but I think it had like a 60 FPS kind of zest added to it. And then a compilation of Bayonetta and Vanquish was released as for the 10th anniversary, and that was for PS4 and Xbox One, and that was in February 2020. For this week, I was playing it on PS3. What were you doing?
What were you doing?
What were you doing?
You caught me off guard.
I was playing on PS3. What system did you play on, Adam?
I played it on the Xbox One X because I have the remaster.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. We can kind of talk about the... I guess we can't really compare the graphics because you probably don't know what the PS3 one was like, and I don't know what the Xbox one was like.
I did check out the Digital Foundry video on the graphics comparison, so...
Oh, sweet. Cool. Yeah. I had a little look on YouTube as well, and it looks pretty damn good. So, anyway, back to what the game is. To say it's... a standard cover shooter would be a little bit of a bad interpretation. It's a really fast-paced shooter, but it's got a difference. There's lots of action. There's lots of fast-paced sliding around on the floor. There's a whole lot of intricate mechanics, which are easy to miss in this game, but I think that's what the fans love about it, that it could be like a bit of a skill-based game, much like the Bayonetta and like Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, where there's more to it than meets the eye.
Yeah. It definitely feels more like the third-person brawler type of gameplay that you would find in the rest of Platinum's games. What Vanquish does differently from all of those is that it is also a shooter. So, I mean, you have like one melee attack button, but the majority of the time you're spending shooting, but you're also like, yeah, because you have such a wide array of mobility options, you're always like trying to get in there and then like get real close and get around enemies and flank them and get behind them and find their weak spots and stuff. So it plays a lot more like a brawler than it does a stop and pop shooter. What are they called? Cover based shooter.
Yeah, like I hear pop. People kind of often give the comparison of Gears of War.
Yeah.
But Gears of War is much slower paced than this.
Yeah, it has that in there, so people can play it that way if they want to. But
yeah,
the mechanics are definitely deep enough to, if you want to master them, you can get in there and have some fun.
Yeah, there was a good video I watched by the Game Maker's Toolkit talking about the depth and mastery of Vanquish and just platinum games in general. And it was kind of making the point, like, you could easily play Vanquish on casual mode or whatever and just play it as a cover-based shooter if you wanted to,
yeah,
not fully utilizing the mechanics. And then it just kind of went into a good point about saying, like, how if you use all the features of his augmented reaction suit that he's in, it can really, like, add to the enjoyment of the game. Speaking of the augmented reaction suit, should mention the character you play as and why he is quite an interesting character. Because he is in this augmented reaction suit. And essentially, when the suit takes enough damage, it can enter automatically into augmented reaction mode, or AR mode. This is a mode that increases Sam's reflexes, but when you're playing, it essentially slows down time.
It's witch time.
Exactly. It's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool feature, which you can enter into it on your own choosing. But when you do it, you have like a limited time before your suit will overheat, and then you've got to wait down, and that's when you're really vulnerable, and it can be like an interesting mechanic to kind of play around with.
Yeah.
But also, like I said before, you could easily kind of not utilize it too well if you don't want to. So it's kind of good that the features are there, that you don't need to use it if you don't want to, and you can if you do.
Yeah, and his slide as well, because he has a really fast, like, it's almost like a Michael Jackson, like, slide on your knees across the floor kind of
dance
move.
Could you imagine if you were just sliding along the floor and being like...
yeah, so it's like he's basically slides on his knees, and that's his super fast little almost Sonic the Hedgehog type of thing. But all of that uses energy from the suit, but it's not like a... It's not a finite resource. It's more of a... More like a stamina bar. So if you exceed it, then as soon as it's completely exceeded, the suit will overheat and leave you vulnerable, but it will recharge, so you don't have to worry about getting like health pickups or anything like that to refresh it. You can just dodge roll out of there and get behind some cover, and then it'll regenerate fast enough that you can get back into the mix of the action and have more fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a cool little feature, and I don't really know of any other games with that sort of mechanic, really. It's pretty fresh.
Well, I'm just thinking it's like Bloodborne's stamina bar, except the downside of using it entirely is higher. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was just meaning in reference to the suit itself and sliding around and all the other features, the slowing down time, all being like controlled by the stamina bar, essentially.
Yes.
And the melee.
It's almost like his suit is almost like Iron Man.
It is.
Yeah. And I remember when Anthem came out and everyone's like, oh, it's like the Iron Man game. I'm like, well, Vanquish, you had a suit. Is that like Iron Man? I don't know where I'm going with this.
I love the tone you set that in.
It's kind of like that. And then your parents go, no, we can't get Iron Man. We have Iron Man at home. It's just like the Anthem suit at home. The dodgy, shitty
interestingly,
one.
Interestingly, the director of the game, Shinji Mikami, who also did Resident Evil 4, he says that Vanquish was quite heavily inspired by a 1970s anime called Kasham.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that anime? Because I sure as hell am not.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, which I always used to think was pronounced Kashern, like, is it C-H-A-S-S-H-E-R-N?
Oh, is it R-N? I put M. Kasham. Whatever.
I don't know. I can't find it on the Wikipedia page. But if that's the one that I'm thinking of, then I have seen the live-action remake, which...
it's Kashin.
Yeah. So I've...
Also known in Japan as Neo-Human Kashin.
Yes. So I've seen the live-action remake film from Japan based on that. And he is also a playable character in the Tatsunoko versus Capcom Wii fighting game.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes.
There was another reference or inspiration that I've totally forgotten, but there is definitely an MGS feel to some of those games. Don't know if you sort of got that. I think primarily in the characters and the way they talk to each other.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I think it's hilarious. I kind of love that cheesy 80s action film dialogue that just goes on where they're talking between comms.
Yeah.
And sure, they are talking, but I don't care what they're saying. The story took a big backseat for me.
Okay. Can we start with the story then? Because I have a few bones to pick with that situation.
Please do. And admittedly, you probably know it better than I do, because I didn't really pay too much attention. I'm going to tell you right now.
Here's the thing. I don't know, because this game, I had no fucking clue what was going on, other than at the start, San Francisco, they get hit by some sort of like laser beam from a satellite somewhere, and then people just sort of explode into mists of like...
They get microwaved.
Yeah, clouds of fucking blood kind of thing. They get put in the microwave for too long and their eyes pop out. And I was like, oh my God, this is fascinating. Oh, this is so interesting. Oh my God, this sci-fi gory shit and there's fucking robots coming out. And then everybody basically hops on a plane, well, a jet, goes into space because Russia has some sort of space station. And then they have this mission to attack the space station and they get in there. It's like this big cylinder. It's almost like the... Citadel in Mass Effect kind of thing, and I was really into this. I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking cool as shit. And then the first couple of missions, it's kind of like storming the beaches of like in Saving Private Ryan or something like that, one of those fucking war movies that I've never seen before.
For sure.
I love that whole thing. That was great, but I didn't realize that the entirety of the story was going to take place in the space station and basically nothing was going to happen from beginning until end.
I do agree. At first, everything felt a little bit kind of generic. I mean, you get to this space station, I think it was called Providence, and you're just kind of surrounded by like weird sci-fi buildings and it looks very kind of one tone of white and gray and shiny and a little bit just boring, admittedly.
I was into it, but then like it just didn't... I thought that it was going to go other places and see other things and there would be I don't know. I thought something else was going to happen rather than playing multiple different missions. It was like you're playing one long ass mission happening in real time, basically. Whereas I thought it was going to be a story that was happening over, you know, an expanded period of time type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It kind of relies really heavily on just being a very fast-paced game, and I think it forgoes having too much of a story element by having all this action and just fast-paced movement and not really having to stop to watch cutscenes and all this sort of stuff.
I had a really hard time adjusting to that.
Yeah, it was a bit odd, but I should say, I haven't mentioned, but I did play this before. I've played this back in 2013, I think.
Yeah.
I originally played it on hard mode, and that was brutal, I seem to remember, but it was good.
Did you beat it on hard mode?
Yeah, I beat it on hard.
Oh.
It was hard as hell, but I think it's a good way to really learn the mechanics of the game, because you really have to, because it is not easy at all. Whereas this time around, because I played it on hard once, I did play this on the easy mode, even with auto aim.
Oh, casual auto?
Yeah, man. As casual as you can get.
I didn't do that. I started on normal, and then I very quickly realized that... So, I always look up on howlongtobeat.com, how long a game is going to be, so I can sort of plan it ahead of time around my life in general. And it said somewhere around 6 hours, and I sort of felt like I was getting to a point where I wasn't making much progress. I was like, I keep dying, and... I don't want to get too frustrated with this because I have a very limited amount of time to finish it. So, I bumped the difficulty down to casual and it actually felt like way too easy.
Oh, it was stupidly easy.
Yeah, it was like... Remember when we played Knack and then we played it on normal mode and we were complaining about how hard it was?
Yeah.
And then when I tried out easy mode, it was like baby mode. It was so fucking easy. It was just ridiculous. So... Easy mode in Vanquish is basically like baby mode in Knack, pretty much. I mean, I did die a couple of times when I was being careless, but I definitely did not feel like I was incentivized to learn the depths of the mechanics to expand my mastery or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I agree 100%. And even so, I still kept it on casual through the entire game because I just wanted an easy ride through to remind myself more than anything.
Yeah.
And... I mean, it was a piss state because I could literally stand in the middle of an arena surrounded by robots and you just kind of aim. It goes automatically to the nearest robot. you just hold down fire, and then once you've killed that one, it will zoom to the next one. You don't really have to do anything.
Wow.
It's fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, I think that's too easy for me. I at least had the freedom to choose where I aimed.
I mean, you did have freedom. It's not like it would only jolt to the one that you aimed at, like the closest one that you aimed to. So you had to be like looking in the direction of the one you wanted to kill. Otherwise, it wouldn't help you.
Right.
But yeah, like you wouldn't take too much damage even if you just stood out in plain sight.
Yeah.
So and even when you did, the augmented reaction slowdown feature would just kick in, and you could just run away and get behind cover. And then once the slowdown has sorted itself out, your health's back up and you're fine. So you just carry on.
Yeah, I did. I also noticed when I switched the difficulty down from normal to easy that the enemies took damage a lot faster.
Yeah.
So they went down way quicker. I basically just sped through the rest of the game after I'd switched the difficulty, to the point where I actually felt guilty about it. I was like, ah, okay, never mind. I do want to say, though, that so my impressions of the game, because I played it on easy quite early on, was that I was pretty underwhelmed, but I don't think that's the fault of the game. That's my fault, because I didn't really commit to learning everything. And gearing up for a mini rant here.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So I feel like sometimes when people play games on easy mode and then they finish it and they put it back on the shelf and don't really come back to it, they're not really giving it a fair go. Like, they'll just sort of think that, oh, or say to other people, yeah, I played that, finished it, on to the next one. And then it doesn't really have much of an impact. I kind of felt that with this game, because if I weren't already familiar with Platinum's other games, like Bayonetta, for example, I would think that this was a really extremely shallow experience, and I was somewhat underwhelmed when I was done, because I kind of expected like a more bombastic story in the way that Bayonetta has, like really crazy shit going on. There's some crazy shit in this, but it actually feels a lot more grounded than any of the other ones that I've played. But it isn't supposed to be played just once on easy mode and then you put it down and move on to the next thing. These types of games are really arcadey in the sense that you're supposed to be playing on difficulties that challenge you, and you're supposed to up the challenge by going on to the next difficulty above that, and then the next difficulty above that, and then trying your best to get as high of a score as you can. So I feel like a lot of people, at least in the modern day, kind of, maybe it's just me, but like a more casual players where they'll play this, they won't even really pay too much attention about what score they're getting, finish the story, delete off their hard drive and be done with it. And I think that's an unfair approach for this one in particular, because you're definitely supposed to play it more than once, and you wouldn't really have an accurate assessment of how quality the game is if that's the only way that you play it. Does that make sense?
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. I just feel like having the desire, or like, I don't particularly care about having a good score. The score literally means nothing to me.
But you played on hard mode, though. Like, the first time you played it, were you a lot more satisfied with that experience than you were just,
oh yeah, for sure,
breezing through it on casual?
It obviously felt like much more of a challenge and much more of an achievement to even get through it.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm glad I've done that, and I remember enjoying it quite a bit. But
you get a free pass this time around.
It wasn't to the point where I could go back. Like, we got to the end and I was like, wow, I need to play this again so I can up my score. I don't have the desire to do that.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, like, especially for action games like this, their core fan base are really into that type of thing. And that's where, at least for them, that's where the highest satisfaction comes from.
I mean, I know the Metal Gear Rising Revengeance and Bayonetta, they both have things like S ranks and A ranks.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah, it's just that sort of thing. I've never cared about it. All I want to do really is like get to the end of the round, you know, get to the next level, progress in the story. The scoring system is just an added thing on the side, which I barely take notice of.
I take notice of it. I didn't take notice of it as much in Vanquish because, unlike Bayonetta and a couple of other Platinum's games, when you finish a level, they don't give you a letter score or a medal score or any sort of ranking like that. They just give you a number. And so it doesn't quite give you as much of a reward or an incentive to get a higher score. So unless you're the type of person that pursues that higher score and that's something that you're looking for, then you might not feel as satisfied than if you were to play Bayonetta, for example, because in that game, you need to get like a platinum score on each of your encounters with like each of the fights within the levels. And then overall, you'll get a platinum, gold or silver score. And if you get a platinum score on all the levels, you unlock, you know, more content, more characters, all that additional sort of stuff. Like, there's incentives there. This one, I really don't know because I've only dipped my toe in it, whether or not there actually are incentives for getting that high score. And as far as I know, I don't think there is.
I don't think there is. If there are any, then they're well hidden, and obviously I didn't unlock any.
Yeah, like I didn't even really look at what the achievements or trophies were in this game. So I guess strike that as a negative against Vanquish because it didn't really grab my interest enough to want to unlock any achievements, really. I just went with whatever was unlocked during the story. I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, and I am quite fairly familiar with the trophies, but I really don't think there was anything even slightly related to the scoring system. So
yeah,
even if there were trophies, that's like a small incentive to focus on it. But
I do know there were online leaderboards, but other than that, I don't think there's anything else.
There might have been. I think certainly for PS3 and Xbox 360, they would have been probably shut down.
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely active ones for Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Yeah. There's also the tactical training missions you can do. I'm not sure if they've got like an online training leaderboard component or something as well.
I don't know.
I didn't try any of those.
I booted the game up again tonight to have a look at anything that I'd missed after I'd finished the story. And basically when I'd finished the story, it unlocked God hard mode. And then that was it. I looked through the options. I couldn't even find the tactical mission things. I couldn't find anything. I was like, okay, I'm a little concerned about where all this extra content is. Where is it? So it's just like one of those games, like an original Resident Evil, where you're sort of supposed to play it multiple times. And that's why it's so short, I guess.
Yeah.
But I am a little disappointed with how short it is.
Yeah, I definitely was surprised. I really didn't think it was going to take it as short as it did. It was, I guess because I played on hard before and I looked on PSN profiles because you can see like the date of all your trophies and how long it might have taken you to get them.
Yeah.
And I think it took me like a week up to 2 weeks to get through the hard playthrough. Whereas, yeah, my mission time this time was barely like a few sessions, you know?
Yeah. I think my total time was definitely less than 4 hours. I don't think that includes the actual time that plays through the cutscenes. So it'll be 4 hours plus the length of the cutscenes. So yeah. I don't know, 5 hours.
Mine was about 3.5 hours, I think.
Yeah, I think mine was like 3 hours and 45 minutes or something like that. So yeah, very, very short. I think Bayonetta clocks in at about 8 to 10, if not more, maybe 12.
That seems more reasonable.
Yeah, for a, like full run through of start to finish on easy mode, I suppose. But even those games, you're incentivized to go back and replay missions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I will.
Yeah, I don't think I will either. There is some trophies that you can find in the stage that you can shoot.
Oh, what are they called? Like the pangolos?
I don't know.
Pangolins. You can shoot pangolins.
Pangolo? I don't know.
I don't know what they are, what relation they have to anything. They're just gold statues and you shoot them and they turn red and make a funny noise.
Yep. I kept an eye out for them. I shot about 20 of them, I think. And then I was like, I'm not going to go back and replay it to shoot them.
Screw that. Yeah, because there's not even a chapter select as far as I'm aware.
No, there is.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't see that.
Yeah. At the end of the game, you can go back and choose which missions you want to replay.
Oh, right. That explains it. I never really looked at the end. I just turned it off.
Yeah.
Slam done.
Yeah. Anyway. Sam Gideon, what did you reckon?
Sam Gideon, you know, he just feels like a It just feels like another version of Solid Snake to me.
Yeah.
Just kind of that sort of cheesy, cliched action star. It's funny. I don't dislike him. I like that sort of character type. It's funny. But yeah, he's not like breaking new ground. He's not anything to write home about. Like, check out Sam Gideon. He's the best. He's just a character in the game who serves a purpose and does it all right.
I kind of didn't like him in the beginning. At first, I disliked him. And then he was just kind of there. And I'm like, all right, he's just a whatever character. They have some sort of like cheesy one-liners type of thing where the characters are trying to be as manly as possible, I suppose, or gravelly voiced, you know, badasses.
Yeah.
But then after a while, I got really bored of that shtick. And the thing that irritated me was Sam Gideon, the protagonist, is always fucking smoking. Every time I see him smoking, I'm like, you're a disgusting human being and I hate you because I used to be a smoker. So whenever I see anybody smoke, it like completely turns me off. I'm like, ugh, every sex appeal that you possibly had up to this point is gone. And I don't understand how he's supposed to perform all this crazy shit and all these like acrobatic things and athletic feats when he has a compromised cardiovascular and lung system.
When he's full of tar.
Yeah.
It's that augmented reality suit, man.
No, he has to. He's the person in the suit. He has to power the suit. But I think that because he's constantly smoking, you only ever see him take like two puffs and he throws a cigarette away, which is also a sin, by the way, because
he just
cigarettes
chucks
are so
it on the ground.
Yeah. That's one, littering. And two, those fucking things are really expensive and you're just wasting them. Give them to people in Australia. We pay like $40 a pack for a pack of cigarettes. It's a joke.
Give them to the Australians.
Like, butt it out and send your half-smoked cigarette to the Australians who need it. You can feed kids in Africa. Give your
put them in a little shoebox.
Yeah. You're going to feed kids in Africa? Give your diaries to the Bogans in Oz.
That's quite funny. I never even thought about that. And the cigarette is actually a mechanic of the game. You can use it to distract enemies. I never did. I don't think I ever did it once. But
I didn't even know you could until after I'd seen it on YouTube. I was like, what the fuck?
I think I accidentally activated it once when I was in cover. And I was like, well, how did I do that?
How did you do it?
You go up to, you're in cover. And then I think on PS3, you press L1 or L2. And he literally just throws it behind him. I think it also draws fire away.
Apparently. I didn't even know it was a thing, and I'm pretty sure it is not in the tutorials.
Oh, it's definitely not. And I don't ever remember using that in my hard playthrough either, so it's obviously not an essential ingredient. Or maybe it would have helped me get through hard in a whole lot less time, who knows? But
maybe.
Didn't need it for casual auto, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Okay. Question.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Vanquish, you have a variety of different guns as options. And the cool thing about the suit is that it replicates weapons. So rather than picking up actual guns themselves, you're only really refreshing your ammo and selecting one of three slots that you're going to put a gun in. You do have to, quote unquote, pick up the gun for your suit to register it or whatever.
Yeah, you scan the weapon, I think, don't you?
Yeah. And then so each gun that you pick up after that refills your ammo. And if you have full ammo when you pick up one of those weapons again, it actually upgrades the weapon. So I think there's, I don't know how many stages there are, but you can upgrade it to be like mastered. So I was running around with three mastered weapons. What weapons were you using? And then I'll tell you which ones I was using.
All right. I kept it fairly boring, honestly. I did initially I tried out all the weapons.
Yeah.
And some of them I just felt were good right from the get-go, and some of them were just a little bit too bad or just not good enough to really warrant using all the time. So my main weapon was the straightforward automatic rifle.
Yep.
I upgraded that to max. I also used the sniper rifle and the rocket launcher.
Oh, that's it?
That was it.
Okay.
I basically never used anything else. The other guns didn't seem to be really that good.
Yeah.
What about you?
At one point, I thought, oh, I might try and upgrade everything or as many as I can because maybe there's a trophy that I'll unlock. And then I realized that, okay, it's a bit of a waste of time. So, I, like you, used the assault rifle as my main weapon. And I fully upgraded that. And then I also was using the rocket launcher because that thing is a powerhouse.
It's so good.
And super useful for boss fights. And then the third weapon that I used was the laser cannon, which rather than using actual ammo, it uses your stamina bar or your suit's heating bar or whatever to basically power the laser. So while you're firing it, your stamina goes down much in the same way as when you're sliding or in slow-mo time or whatever. So I used that one, maxed that out, and then I just basically sat there and I didn't use it at all. But it was in my three main weapons. So basically, I was just using the assault rifle and rocket launcher and that was it.
Yeah. You also have two grenades. You got the EMP grenades and the just standard explodey grenades.
Yeah.
They were pretty useful. I used them quite a bit.
I did use the grenades and shoot them in slow-mo while they're still in the air. That was fun.
Yes, that is so cool.
Yeah. Did that like three times. I was like, okay.
Three times.
Well, you only have like three opportunities to do it because the game is so short.
True enough.
Exaggeration, people. But
maybe four.
Yeah, maybe a few. The bosses were pretty cool though.
Yeah, actually, I was going to mention, I did quite like the boss designs and the variety of enemies.
Yeah,
for a short game, they felt like there was quite a good variety. But even the boss battles, they did repeat a few, but they felt different enough. Or sometimes they just like combined two bosses in one.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're cool. Hunting around, like weakening them by shooting off the weak points, and then that exposes the weakest point, like the heart of the robot that you've got to destroy.
Yeah.
It's pretty good fun. And the levels, the boss arenas are pretty good too, because there are plentiful amount of ammunition and weapons scattered around. If you run low, you can just go pick someone up. Or even if you heal a downed soldier, occasionally they like give out a weapon so you can recharge or reload. And it's all quite good. I enjoyed the boss fights.
I did too. And the reason why I liked the boss fights was because playing on casual, it's really one of the few opportunities you have to strategize because the enemy doesn't go down immediately. Like, it was more of a bullet sponge and you had an arena to actually be mobile in, like go from one side to the other, like just fucking Michael Jackson slide your way from one side to the other, get behind them, find their weak points, shoot them. And then when they're down on the ground, have a little cuddle, invite them back to Neverland Ranch and share a bed together. And there's less like little guys. So sometimes the big fights, there are so many enemies shooting you all at once that it gets a bit overwhelming, which is cool. And like the slow-mo comes in real handy in those situations. But I really, really liked the one-on-one, either giant robot fights, or there's this enemy that has basically a very similar suit to you, but it flies. So he was another great enemy to have a one-on-one fight with. And then at one point towards the end of the game, you fight a guy, or you fight two versions of that guy at the same time. So that was a ton of fun because you actually got to strategize and hide in the arena and slide around and wee-hee everywhere.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You did say, though, reviving down soldiers or helping down soldiers.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Your AI guys in this are fucking useless.
Yeah, I'd be quite intrigued to see how many of the AI people died in your game. That's one of the things they tell you at the end, which is it's pretty funny.
I made a conscious effort to try and not shoot my squad mates, but they are so fucking stupid that they literally walk in front of you while you're stationary and firing at an enemy. They walk through your line of fire.
They do that so frequently. It drove me insane. Especially freaking Burns as well.
Yes. I don't know if I'm crazy, but I'm pretty sure you can kill them as well. Like, your fire damages them, right?
I never noticed that, because honestly, it was Burns who walks in front of me, and he's probably, because he's one of the main characters, he obviously can't be killed by you. But I wouldn't be surprised if you can kill the little grunt soldiers that run around.
I'm fairly sure that I did at some point kill quite a few of them. I'm pretty sure.
Oh dear.
And Sam, once they walk in front of him, he's like, get out of the way! But I had a point where I was in one battle and he was literally saying it like 5 times in a row. And because it's the same voice track, it was just like on repeat. It was like, get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way.
There are a few lines he repeats, like that one. And then whenever you pick up a weapon, he'll be like, not what I was after, but it'll do.
Yeah. Can't wait to take this home and shove it up my ass.
Yeah, that's one he said pretty often too. Yeah, almost every chapter.
Did you ever play Shadows of the Damned?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
or haven't.
You should one day, because you have this gun which is like a skull, and it's called the Boner. So there's this point where it like gets really big, like an erect penis, and it shoots out like a big cannon fire thing, and you're fighting these giant enemies, and he's like, taste my big boner, because he's Mexican.
Of course, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and it sounds like something out of like Saints Row or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Shadows of the Damned is actually a really good game, but maybe you can play it one day. Anyway,
maybe.
Taste my big boner.
Back to bosses.
Oh
and
yeah,
their big boners. What did you feel about the QTEs that you'd occasionally have to do?
I didn't mind them. I think it was a product of its time, but I appreciated that they were not nearly as oversaturated as you find in other action games from back then. Like, there would be things like God of War.
Mm.
You would have to QTE, like, every single boss. In this game, you only have, maybe half a dozen situations where you actually have to QTE something, and I was glad that that was it.
I think the problem I found was that, at least in God of War, you know that you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's in every boss fight or whatever, or even just every other fight. In this one, you don't know when to expect it, because some of the boss fights, you don't need to do it. And so I actually died a few times, I think twice, because I didn't expect there to be a QTE. And one of them was at the very last boss fight, when you kind of have to do a QTE at the end of a fight. If you missed it, or if you failed one of them, that means you like failed the fight and you have to reload. And that's I just found that a bit annoying. Like, make your mind up. Do it frequently, or don't do it at all.
Apparently Shinji Mikami really didn't want to do them at all, so he kept scaling back and scaling back, and eventually there were only a couple of the instances left. But I understand why that would be frustrating for you, or for anyone really, like not expecting a QTE, and then suddenly a QTE happens.
Well, it's like, I just did this boss fight. I put the controller down because I thought I had to cut something. It turns out it was a QTE, so I had to just quickly pick up the controller and try and, like, mash square.
Is that the one where the guy's coming towards you with the...
Yeah, right near the end.
That happened to me as well, and I was like, oh, okay. But it just reloaded to exactly that point, so at least
it really didn't waste much time at all, so I can at least give it props for that.
If you had to fight that guy all over again, then I'd be singing a different tune. But
exactly. That would be so frustrating. Even on casual alter, just because it would have taken me like a few extra minutes.
Yeah. Another cool thing. There is one stage where you're on a train, and I thought this was really cool, or cool enough to make a note out of, but you are on this train, there's like another train that's on a separate track next to you, but there are these points where it like flips over and twists around, so you're upside down and the other train is upside down, so you have to try and shoot enemies that are like right above you. I thought that was fucking cool.
I did like those scenes. I mean, I like the ones where you're just like flying around on ships and you have to shoot the guys on the other side as well. They were all pretty fun.
Yeah.
I do distinctly remember struggling a lot when I played those modes on hard. Yeah, they were just really difficult. I think because you're constantly trying to move with the train that's also moving and keep up to where these enemies are. And obviously you don't have like a locking aim on hard mode. So it's all done by yourself, and it was just really difficult. In this time through, it was just like a piece of cake, and it was probably more enjoyable, honestly.
I did notice sometimes that there will be really short situations where you're on like a tram or a train or some sort of track thing, and that'll be this short period of track where you would have maybe 4 or 5 enemies, and you'd kill them real quickly, and then that little section's over, and it was like a mission in itself. And I'm like, wait a minute, this must be like 10 times more difficult on hard, because I don't understand why they'd put this encounter in here if it's just a couple of enemies and it's over in like two minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never really thought about that.
Yeah, so I think that must be like one of those high difficulty challenges in the other modes, but in just plain easy, I was like, that probably could have been cut, but okay.
Yeah, it was all right. It was a moment's respite from all the action.
Yeah.
But there was also one mode where you're sort of on a train or a little ship flying through, and you have to almost do stealth by shooting out the lights and the robots and stuff.
Oh.
I'm not so sure what I think about that scene, because it seems kind of out of character for the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't fully stealth at all, and you don't necessarily even need to do it stealth. Like, you can't. The only thing you can do is, like, shoot the lights in time before you get there, before they see you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a little bit kind of questionable, I think.
I died in that one because I was an idiot with my sniper rifle. So you have three refills of your sniper rifle on the ship that you're on. But stupid me, like right at the start, I picked all three of them up at the same time to upgrade the sniper rifle, but I still only had 10 shots and there are like 15 lights.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, I did the exact same thing, but I had upgraded it before, so I had like 24 shots or something.
Oh, no, I hadn't upgraded mine at all, and I was like, this would be a good chance to upgrade. So, I only had 10 shots, and there were like 15 lights, so I got towards the end, and it completely killed me, and none of my other guns were damaging the lights at all, so I was like, okay, I fucked this, and I had to restart it. But, I mean, I didn't mind it. It was a nice change of pace, I suppose, but in a game this quick, pacing doesn't really matter if it's the same or not to me. You know what I mean?
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, like after 4 hours of gameplay, I don't really care if you've added in a couple of mini games and put in a bit of variety, because it's 4 hours. That's like a drop of water in the can of life.
That is exactly what it is, man. Just a little drop of water in the big can of life.
Yeah, that's it. A drop in the ocean to the length of time of most games.
I prefer the can of life.
The can of life.
Big can of worms.
I was just having a flashback to my days in prison where instead of an actual toilet, they just gave you a can.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, good old prisons in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
There's also I was going to say funny cutscenes, but I'm particularly thinking of the last one, or one of the end ones, where you're watching the President of the United States.
Oh, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton decides to make a big decision.
Yeah. I laughed.
I had no idea what the hell she was doing. Like, I don't know who you are, why you're even in this story, what the hell is going on to her.
Yeah.
After reading the Wikipedia plot, I understand a little bit more, but either way.
Yeah, look, I still don't really understand. Something to do with Russia and America, and there are betrayals and double crosses and something about resources, and now you're fighting each other, but then stuff happens. And it's just like one of those political things where I don't really give a shit. So the plot didn't grab me at all, other than the setting itself I found like really cool. Until I realized that there's not really a driving force in the story to keep me interested. So, I completely tuned out for everything that was happening.
The problem was that when you get to the end, I don't know whether to be happy or sad. I feel like it was a bad ending.
Why? Because the president dies?
No, because the frickin' Providence Space Station gets blown up.
But I thought the Providence Space Station was the bad guys.
I mean, how can anyone justify blowing up that when it is literally filled with probably millions of people?
But it's not. It's full of Russians. They're not people. They're communists.
Oh, they're just full of Russians? Oh, goddammit. I thought it was humans.
Think about it. How many humans did you fight in the entire game? Zero. Except for that guy in the suit. They're all robots.
You make a good point.
Yeah.
But that's stupid. That's just ridiculous. I don't believe it's full of robots.
I do. I believe it is a robot sanctuary, and it's a paradise for all the misunderstood robots.
Hang about here. Let me quote Wikipedia, which we know is never wrong here.
Okay.
It's the source of all knowledge. In the near future, Earth's human population burgeons to the point where nations fight for scarce resources. The USA attempts to alleviate energy problems by launching SC-01 Providence, an O'Neill cylinder space colony. to provide them with an alternative source. So they only make that space station because the human population grows too large for Earth to be able to support it. So they're not going to build the space station and then just put robots on it.
But they were the ones that were storming the space station.
And the USA are the ones who built it. Wait a minute. I don't have a clue. I don't even know why we're trying to work this out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But here's... I thought that because United States were the ones that were storming the space station, like the beaches of Normandy, that the space station belonged to the Russians because it was full of Russians and robots.
I think there was must have been something that said... it was originally built by the United States, but then Russian Federation tried to overthrow it, take charge of it, and that's why Sam Gideon and his crew of goons land on the space station to try and take it back. So I think you're trying to take back control of it. But then at the end, there's a whole lot of people betraying you and all this stuff, and then the whole freaking thing explodes. And I just think, even if it's full of Russians, because I don't believe that all Russians are terrible. I don't believe that having millions of people die in a space explosion is a good ending.
I don't think there were people on it. I don't think it was even populated. It was just robots.
All right. Well, if we think like that, then I don't feel bad. My conscience can remain clean.
I didn't see a single human on there other than the soldiers that were fighting. So if it is full of humans, the story did not do a very good job in conveying that, and slap on the wrist for you, Mr. Scriptwriter, because you didn't convey to me what was actually at stake. So, up yours.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. Sit on this and rotate, buddy. You can't see the finger gesture that I'm doing, but I'm sticking
we
up the fingers.
We can all feel it. No, yep. We can't. What? Anyway.
Yeah, I got a kick out of Hillary Clinton killing herself. I thought it was hilarious.
Yes, it was very funny.
Yeah, it was quite the punchline.
They should have added like a little comedy sound effect just after.
Womp, womp, womp.
Comedy whistle.
Trump walks in. China!
Grabs her by the pussy.
Puts his hand up her and works like a finger puppet.
Hello, I'm Hillary Clinton. Blah, 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 blah.
My husband did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I don't know. Speaking of Hillary Clinton. No, I'm not going to get down that line. It's a boring subject. It's nothing related to Vanquish. Yeah. Honestly, I don't exactly have too much left to say. I think I've pretty much said all my thoughts. It's literally a 3-hour game. There's only so much I can say about it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, we can talk about the graphics. So graphically, I can at least say that the Xbox One X version does look very nice, but it looks like an Xbox 360 game. So the remaster kind of almost looks like if you were playing Vanquish on Xbox 360 and it had an Xbox One X enhancement, rather than if you were actually buying a remaster of an Xbox 360 game. So it wasn't like this huge leap that I was expecting, but definitely looks very clean and nice. So
yeah, from the little clips I've seen on YouTube, the remaster does look significantly different. But saying that,
does it?
Significantly, I mean, maybe noticeably is the word.
Or much cleaner, yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. It does look like a Xbox 360, PS3 generation game.
Yeah,
they've just cleaned up a little bit. But
yeah.
I mean, it plays fine. So on PS3, although the graphics were a little bit more, I guess, pixelated, that sort of thing, just not quite so clear, it still looks all right to me, and it plays absolutely fine. Like, there was no problems with FPS. I think it's stuck at 30 on the PS3 one.
Yeah,
but I don't particularly care. It plays fine. There was no like glitching or stuttering or frame drops or anything like that. It was all pretty smooth sailing. So
yeah,
from a gameplay perspective, it was fine.
You always used to say that you never really noticed the graphical stuff, and I don't really notice the frame rate stuff unless there's like a really obvious dip. But to me, the difference between 30 frames per second and 60 frames per second is virtually unnoticeable. And I don't know if that's because I have really bad eyesight or I just don't give a shit if a game plays smooth. then that's all I need.
Yeah, I'm sure it depends on the game, but for me, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you if I had even ever played a game that was 60 FPS.
Yeah,
because I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't notice.
Yeah, if you put a 60 FPS game next to a 30 FPS game, and you made me watch the footage of it, and then you asked me which one was which, I wouldn't have a clue. I would probably say that they're both 60 FPS. Who knows?
Yeah. Exactly.
If it animates well and it runs well and it looks good, then no complaints.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like shit on people who say that they have to have a game that's 60 FPS or they can't play it. Maybe that's true, but for me, it's just not an issue at all.
I guess it's kind of like audio files, right? So, some people are obsessed with audio stuff. To me, as long as it doesn't hurt my ears, I don't care. As long as it doesn't sound like shit, then that's fine.
Yeah, as long as it's not fuzzy and distorted, it's all right with me. I don't need to get like an extremely expensive, high-quality vinyl record player just to listen to the very best quality of our albums and stuff.
Exactly.
I'll just listen to a straightforward MP3, thanks.
Yeah, or I would like to listen to something in my $150 gaming headset and be satisfied with it and not have to pay like $300 for a gaming headset that has good audio or whatever.
Precisely.
Yeah. I so do not care. I do care if you have a really bad microphone and you're recording a podcast and trying to be professional and it sounds like you're fucking talking through a tin can. That I have a problem with.
True, but also that's to the detriment of the freaking people making the podcast, so it's only going to negatively affect them.
You'd think so, but there are people that are really successful that have actual shit audio in their podcast, and I'm like, come on, man. We spend ages trying to make ours sound good, and you guys sound like shit and more popular than us? That is not on.
Yeah. It's a bit shit. And the other day I was listening to one, I can't remember if it was like an IGN one or something, but they definitely had a really fucking loud fan on in the background. And no one was telling them to turn it off. It was so irritating. I just couldn't listen to it.
Yeah. I mean, so come on.
It's outrageous.
Gotta have some sort of quality assurance there. Anyway.
Well, that's why people listen to our podcast, because it's nothing but 100% pure liquid gold quality.
I'm pretty sure people listen to the podcast because I send them nudes if they do.
Well, you know. Whatever.
Look, I'm not going to be young forever. Well, I'm not young anymore.
Just saying, so. For the people in the future, you know, in 50 years time when we're all dead and gone. I'm not going to be dead in 50 years.
Yes, you will.
Well, probably.
Fucking hope so.
When they're listening back to all our early episodes, when in the future we're on episode 5000.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, even back then, they had such good quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Look, yeah. First 20 episodes, little spotty, but, you know, found our rhythm. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Bloody beautiful, mate.
Bloody ripper.
Bloody beautiful. Anyway, so what are your final impressions of the game?
Okay. It's a good game. It's fun and it's short. So, if you're bored of a certain style of game, you want to have a little refresher with some action shooter, then this is a good one to jump into. Yeah. Just don't take it too seriously and have a good time. And that's probably all I've got to say. I mean, if you like the score system in games like Bayonetta and that, then perhaps this is going to be more exciting for you to play than it is for me. So that's something to consider. But all in all, it's just like, it's a good game, but I'm not going to rave about it like some people do.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't really talk about the music.
Yeah. I don't really recall much of the music, honestly.
It's kind of techno.
It wasn't bad, but I didn't play with the volume very loud, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I took note of the music and I'm like, okay, it's kind of like a electrical action-y.
I'm sure I heard like a mix of electronic sort of kind of fast upbeat
that's it.
Electronic music, but also had guitar in it at some point and kind of slightly Rocky-esque electronic music. It was a bit strange. It was a cool combination though.
Electrical music.
It fit the game style pretty well.
Yeah, it was just like dance music, kind of like a fucking get your glow sticks out, you're at a rave with guns kind of situation.
Yeah, and slide around in your augmented reality suit going...
Yeah, you're on the dance floor at a goth rave with guns, sliding on the floor like Michael Jackson.
Now that is the dream scenario right there.
Okay. All right, well, here's what I thought.
All right, sum it up for us.
Okay. I thought it was an okay, pretty fun game. I think that people who are really, really into action games and shooters that have quite a lot of depth and mechanics to them will get a lot out of it. But I think if you're like me and you just played it on casual, you might walk away from it thinking that it's a really shallow experience, because I sort of did in the beginning before I realized that there's a lot more there. I just wasn't challenged enough to actually dig a little deeper and explore those a bit more. So if you just want a throwaway, quick, fun shooter with some cool sliding mechanics, and you get this for cheap, then yeah, play it. It's pretty fun. Especially if it's in the Bayonetta remaster and you haven't already played Bayonetta or bought a remaster of Bayonetta in the last few years, because that game has been remastered like 4 or 5 times. But anyway, Bayonetta is great. So if this is like an accompaniment to that, play it for, you know, play through it once and be like, all right, sweet. And then go play Bayonetta, because that game's rad. But I'm a little bummed out that the story was really convoluted and didn't really go anywhere. I did really like that it focused on the soldiers on the ground that were executing the mission. That was really cool, because it kind of made you feel like you were, you know, in amongst it, not just sort of witnessing things from afar. I just wish that maybe there was a larger arcing narrative other than just being confined on the one spaceship. So that's just a personal taste thing. I think it could have been really, really special and that all the ingredients were there, but they just didn't top it off with the icing on the cake, because it was a bit like a plain cake. It was tasty, but it didn't wow me, and I would eat it if it was there, but if I had a choice between that and a double-layered iced chocolate cake like Bayonetta, I'd pick Bayonetta.
Well said.
Thanks. it was like a plain vanilla cake with no icing, but Bayonetta is a double-layered chocolate
iced cake. It was just a sponge.
Yeah. And not even a sponge cake, just a sponge from under the sink.
It was just a scouring pad.
That was a fucking Brillo pad. It was fucking steel wool.
That is what this game is, everybody. It's a steel wool pad for washing your dishes.
Yeah.
Would you choose a steel wool pad over a chocolate cake?
It gets the job done. It just doesn't taste as good. And it will probably kill you if you eat it.
It's probably covered in weird bacteria.
Oh, the best kind. Like blue vein cheese. Mm. I can love a bit of vein.
I love some vascular cheese.
God. Imagine if you cut into some blue vein cheese and it was an actual vein and it like squirted out some blood.
Blood started dripping down the cheese. That's grim.
Oh my God. Yeah, anyway, I thought it was okay. I was whelmed.
Okay, you were mildly whelmed.
Yeah, I was. All right. I was excited, and it just didn't really go anywhere.
You weren't overwhelmed. You weren't underwhelmed.
Yeah.
You were whelmed.
I don't know. Maybe at this point in my life, in this time and space era, day night cycle, it wasn't the correct game for me in my current mental state.
Well. On the plus side, at least it only took 3 to 4 hours of your life. So, yeah.
I probably spent about that long with the game on and the controller in my hand, but with it paused and me on my phone.
Same.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. So, have we decided what we're playing next week?
So, the game we're going to be playing for the next episode is going to be Life is Strange 1.
Mm-hmm.
Quite looking forward to that one. And I guess we should say thanks to our sponsors.
Yeah.
I would like to thank my sponsor. This episode was brought to you by Sir David Attenborough. Everyone knows that he loves the natural world, but few people know that he's actually a massive gamer, and in particular loves Vanquish, so he wanted to help out with this episode especially. So thank you, Sir David.
Yes, thank you, David. Thanks, Dave.
The old buddy, old pal.
Thank you, David. I would like to thank my sponsor, Prince Philip Penis Piercings. Oh, no, wait. Prince Albert Penis Piercings.
Oh, no.
I had 99 of them, but before I got my 100th, I died.
Oh, well, rip.
Yeah. Big rip. Real big rip. It's like pissing out of a colander.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Got a sieve down there.
Yeah. It's like a sponge. Porous. It's like fucking SpongeBob.
When you go swimming, do you consume krill and algae through there?
Yes, I do. And it's also a flotation device.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that would work, but okay. Simultaneously a colander and a flotation device.
We should do our sponsors. We actually forgot our sponsors last time. No, I mean,
what?
Socials. We forgot our socials last time.
All right. Yes. Socials, you can follow us on Twitter at Bad Backlog. Twitch, Good Bad Backlog. Instagram, Good Bad Backlog. And Spreadshirt, you're going to have to remind me what Spreadshirt is, man. I always forget.
Spreadshirt.com/goodbadbacklog.
There we go. I think that is probably all of them at the moment.
Yes.
Marvelous. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope you will be back in the next episode.
Yeah. Enjoy your baklava.
Yes. Have a good Passover.
Yes. Enjoy passing over to the other side.
Yeah, enjoy passing over and being with Prince Philip again.
Rip. Big rip.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Goodbye.